On behalf of all of the residents of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, we welcome everyone for our annual celebration of the appearance of Lord Sri Ramchandra. We heard from speakers throughout the day about the extraordinary pastimes of Sri Ram, his interactions with his devotees, with the asuras, the great and deep practical lessons that we could learn from the Leelas of Ram, the profound philosophy that is foundational to all of these stories. And especially tonight we heard from His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj about the Lord's relationships with His devotees. I would like to speak briefly about the subject of Sri Ram's relationships with just a few of his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masuja. Abandon all varieties of dharma and just surrender to me with love, and I shall protect you, deliver you from all situations, all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna promises that he will reciprocate according to how we surrender to him. When the Lord appears on this earth, especially as Krishna or Ramchandra, the Lord teaches the deepest, most essential messages, especially of the love of a devotee and the love of the Lord for that devotee. Let us take Dasarath Maharaj. What he went through in his life. Dasarath had the most successful kingdom that has ever been seen in creation. He had no rivals, hardly, except the Rakshasas. His citizens loved him dearly. There was no poverty, extraordinary wealth, massive armies. Everything was perfect. But he was miserable because he felt he was letting down his forefathers. Since countless generations, the citizens were happy because they had a good ruler, who were all descendants. Of the dynasty of the sun. But he had no son himself. So his anxiety was not about himself. He considered every one of his citizens his own child. And he understood that their happiness was due to good leadership. And he was old. And it was time for him to retire very soon. And there was no descendant to take the leadership. So he was in great distress. The distress of compassion, selfless compassion for the welfare of others. Vasishtha Muni reminded him that previously Sanat Kumar had said that Rishyasringa, the son of a great sage, who lived in the forest, would perform a yajna, and from that yajna, the Lord himself would appear as the sons of Dasarath. So they arranged to bring Rishyasringa from the Anga kingdom of Romapad Maharaj. And Rishyasringa, it was an Aswamedha yajna. That means Dasarath Maharaj, he had that horse wander freely throughout the entire world with hundreds and hundreds of soldiers, his best generals following. And wherever the horse went, the king of that province had to accept subordination to Dasarath and come to attend the Ashwamedha Yajna. And everyone gladly consented. After the year, the horse returned and it was time for the yajna. And as Devamrit Prabhu was explaining the wealth of Dasarath, when he said, build the accommodations for everyone coming, build a pavilion for this yajna. It was unbelievable. Within a matter of months, practically, there were massive marble palaces and mansions. Because you don't put a king into a tent. Or into a guest room to share with another king. Where he has to walk up four flights of steps. Each one had their own magnificent palace. And there were the kings from the entire planet. There were thousands of them coming. And princes. And as Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was explaining, there was the great Brahmins, thousands and thousands coming from all over the world. And Kshatriyas and Vaishyas of all people of all classes. And everybody had beautiful accommodation. Everyone had the most elegant foodstuffs. Everyone had servants waiting on them. And he arranged this immediately. What it took us to put that elevator in. As far as time, Dasarath Maharaj could have had several Aswamedha yajnas. Such power. And it was all for the purpose of serving his citizens. And being faithful to the will of his forefathers. Because he felt such a deep sense of responsibility for all of them. And they performed the yajna. And at the very, very end, the last oblation. Rishi Sringa made that last oblation. And Vishishtha Muni was right there, and all the great Brahmins and sages. A celestial being, so physically beautiful, with an aura of light emanating from his form, he ascended from the fire itself and went into the air. He was holding a golden pot of celestial nectar. Everyone was looking up at him, marveling. And Dasarat, he felt so confident that his prayer would be fulfilled. Previous to this last oblation, all the devatas appeared with Brahma. And they were all saying to Brahma, something has to be done about this Ravana. He's causing havoc. He's going to take over the whole universe. He has too much power. And the reason he has all this power, Brahma, is because of the benedictions you gave him. And Indra said, you already told him he can't be killed by any deva, he can't be killed any by any Gandharva, he can't be killed by any Rakshasa. The only thing he didn't ask for is humans, because they're so insignificant. He's not worried about humans. So we have to find a human that can kill him. So Lord Brahma, on behalf of the devatas, he meditated and he prayed. He prayed to Vishnu, the only shelter, even for Brahma. And by Brahma's prayer, Vishnu appeared on Garuda Dev. And he told Brahma and the devas, I will become, with my three expansions, myself and the incarnations of my weapons will appear as four sons of Dasarat. And all of you, devas, you should all stay in your posts where you are, but expand yourself in amsas, as powerful celestial monkeys to help me in my mission. Then he left. Then the last oblation. Then that golden personality came out with the golden pot. And he handed the pot to Dasarat Maharaj and said, give a portion of this to your wives, and the son that you're longing for will be born. Dasarat Maharaj gave half to Kausalya, his senior most wife, and half to Kaikeyi. Each of them gave a portion to Sumitra. He had three wives. They all drank that celestial beverage. And immediately, each of them became pregnant. But as soon as the Lord entered into their wombs, they just felt such ecstasy, and they became so incredibly beautiful. Can you imagine the supreme absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the full embodiment of all opulences living within your womb? What happiness they were feeling, and the joy of Dasarat. And it was on this day, long ago, Ram Navami, that the firstborn child, Sri Ramchandra, appeared from the womb of Kausalya. And soon after that, Bharat from Kaikeyi, and Kasubi because Sumitra had two portions, she had two children, Lakshmana and Shatrughna. Dasarath was so absolutely happy. Now, when something is hard to achieve, it makes the dearness even more appreciated. Because of all the years he suffered intensely from having no child, when he finally had the child, it was such an experience of joy. But then he was still young, just a teenage boy, Vishwamitra Muni came. And Dasarath Maharaj begged for his blessings, begged for his instructions, sat him on his throne, washed his feet. Now just that day, Dasarath with his wife, Kaushalya, was discussing about it's time for Ram to be married. And when Vishwamitra Muni came, that was what was on Dasarath's mind. Vishwamitra Muni changed the subject very very drastically, as far as what was in Dasarath's mind. He said, I want Ram to come with me to fight Rakshasas. And as Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj explained, Dasarath was devastated. How could my little child fight Rakshasas? Vishishta Muni told Vishwamitra Muni, he can do it himself. But don't make him angry. I know what he's like when he's angry. So when Dasarath said to Ram, you go, and Lakshman, of course, went with him, what agony he was feeling of separation. He's gone out to the jungles to fight Rakshasas. And then the next news he got is he won Sita's hand in marriage. And not only that, but his other three children, Bharat, Shatrughna, and Lakshman, they all have wives too. And not only wives, but from the most virtuous, pious, best friend and greatest king in all the world, Janak. It was absolute dream come true and beyond for Dasarath. What a celebration. He thought he was losing. It shows. Sometimes when there is an apparent impediment that creates a storm in our life, that storm waters the seeds for beautiful flowers of fulfillments of our highest desires. So Ram comes back with Sita, and now Dasarath is more happy than ever. How his dream now, let me put Ram and Sita on the throne. And when everything was agreed on by the great sages and Brahmins, this was the crushing of all of his desires that he now has. Not just the son, but Ram. 15 years. Dasarath was helpless. He felt responsible. But Ram was so dutiful, so loving, and so fixed in the path of Dharma that he had no regrets. Yes, my father, I will go. Even Dasara tried to convince him. Vashishtha Muni tried to convince him. Kaushalya tried to convince him. Lakshman, Sita, everyone tried to convince him not to go. But he left. And all the citizens of Ayodhya wanted to go with him. And they did. They all followed him. They couldn't give, even though he kept saying, stay back, they couldn't give him up. Now, what kind of love is that? Except Kaikeyi, everyone. They left their homes. They left their comforts. And they were, without even thinking twice about it, spontaneously willing to live in the forest for 14 years. Because nothing could be painful except to be separated from Ram. That was the love of millions of people for him. And he understood their hearts. So the charioteer, Sumantra, they walked all day, they came to a clearing in the forest. Ram took rest in some leaves on the ground, and all the citizens were walking all day, so they all took rest. And very, very early in the morning, before anyone could woke up, Ram woke up. Of course, Lakshman never slept, as Jananda Swami Maharaj explained today. He never slept. He was always 24 hours a day in the service of Ram. And he was never tired either. Because he was so enthusiastic. He had so much love. He was empowered by love. So Ram took Lakshman and Sita, who both wouldn't allow him to leave without them. And they got on the chariot and he told Sumantra, go now before they wake up. And by the time they all woke up immediately running to Ram. They saw he wasn't there. He was gone. And the way Lord Ramchandra directed Sumantra, he was going in and out of rivers and other places so that there was no way to track the wheels of the chariot. He was gone. They all went back. And Dasarath was still back there. He was trying to follow, but he was fainting and fainting and fainting. He just couldn't follow. Ultimately, Ram sent Sumantra back. And when Sumantra went back and he reported to Dasarath the condition of Sita, how as he was leaving, she was just looking into the sky in her tree bark clothes, completely disoriented with tears in her eyes. And how Ram had matted his hair. He was in this tree bark, sleeping on leaves on the ground. When Dasarath heard this, his heart broke. All he could do was weep and cry. Everyone around him was weeping and crying. And ultimately, his love for Ram was so intense that feeling responsible for what he had done and feeling that separation, he gave up his life chanting Ram's name. He literally died due to his love. That was Dasarath's love. He could not live without Ram. He had everything else, but nothing. And how did Ram reciprocate with his devotee's love? When Bharat came to Chitrakoot and told Sri Ram about Dasarath's demise, Ram fell to the ground and wept incessantly in separation of his devotee, Dasarath. And then Ram himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, went to the Mandakini Ganga River, and with his own hands, he offered oblations for the liberation of the soul of his father, with tears in his eyes and his love overflooding with affection. When Ram does oblations for you like that, you know where you're going. Back to Godhead. So the love for the devotee, for the Lord, and the love of the Lord for the devotee. Then there was Bharat, who was blamed for all this. He loved Ram. He came back to Ayodhya, and he saw all very, very dark, bad omens everywhere. What's happening? He came into his palace. Where's my father? He's always here to greet me whenever I come home. And where's Ram? He always comes to greet me. And why everyone won't look at me? And his mother was so blissful. She said, "Congratulations, Bharat. You are now the king of Ayodhya." "What are you talking about, king of Ayodhya? Where's my father? He's dead." "What? My father's dead? Where's Ram?" "He's banished to the forest for 14 years. And she told him the whole story very proudly. He was angry as fire with his mother. He went to visit Kausalya. She said, "Congratulations, now you're the king, your desire's fulfilled." He broke down. "Please, I knew nothing about this." He went to Vasishtha Muni. Vasishtha Muni said, "Congratulations, your desire's fulfilled. Now you're the king. We might as well coronate you. Let's do it." He said, "I will not be coronated. I will go to the forest and I will take the entire 14 years of exile and Ram come back and be the king." And when he said this, Vasishtha Muni and everyone in Ayodhya except Kaikeyi, everyone agreed. That was their love for Ram. He had no one on his side. He had no one on the side of Kaikeyi except Mantara. And when Bharat took such a hard line and told his mother, if you weren't a woman and you weren't my mother, I would kill you immediately. I disown you. You are my enemy. Then she became sober. And she's like a jiva. The jiva naturally loves Krishna, but due to the illusion of maya and bad association, we're envious. But then that envy was when she realized, after Bharat's anger, when she realized how wrong she was, then she went with Bharat to convince Ram to leave Bharat in the forest and come back home. She was 100% with him. That was Bharat's affection. And they went to Chitrakoot. Bharad Raj Muni at Prayag, he also didn't. Congratulations. He had to explain to him. And ultimately, they came to the Kamagiri in Chitrakoot. Lakshman climbed up a tree. He heard the chariots. He saw the flag of Bharat. And he was angry as anything. He said, I know exactly what's happening. He said, Bharat's the next king. But he knows it's only for 14 years, so he's coming with all the armies of Ayodhya to kill you, Ram, so his sovereignty will be undisputed. And Lakshman was angry as fire. He said, today I will pierce his body with arrows and he'll be dragged away by jackals. And everybody along with him. Ram said, Bharat, don't ever speak like that. I mean, Lakshman, never speak like that. Bharat loves me as much as you. You know that. You've been with us all our lives. He knew nothing about that. He's coming to beg me to come back to Ayodhya. He's coming to take my place in the forest. Lakshman knew he was right. And when Bharat came, for of those of you who have gone to Chitrakoot, Ram, in his tree bark clothes and matted hair, outside of a little thatched hut built by Lakshman, he embraced Bharat. And in the stones, the footprints of Ramchandra and Bharat are still present as they embraced. Their love was so deep that even the stones melted. Bharat pleaded and had all the senior members of Ayodhya plead for Ram to return. But Ram was fixed in the path of Dharma. And with such love for Bharat, such deep affection, he gave his sandals. And for the next 14 years, Bharat lived with matted hair and tree bark in a little straw hut in the forest. Put Ram's wooden sandals on the throne. And Bharat did all the work of a king, but took absolutely none of the benefits of a king. He gave all that to Ram's sandals. Gladly. And for those 14 years, he never ate anything but the roots from the ground and some barley soaked in cow urine. And when Ram was returning to Ayodhya, many 14 years later, the first person he went to meet was Bharat in Nandigram. The love between the devotee and the love of the devotee for the Lord and the love of the Lord for the devotee. When Sri Ram was living in Panchavati, and Ravana came and took Sita. Ram was searching everywhere. We have heard the story already from several speakers today about Ravana's plot. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj said he hatched his plot of kidnapping Sita. As he was searching everywhere, asking the sky, asking the mountains, he turned to a mountain, said, "Where is Sita? You must," because he saw, because when Ravana took her away, she was dropping her flowers that he had offered her. And he saw some of the flowers strewn on the ground. And he looked to the nearby mountain. And he demanded the mountain to tell him where Sita went, who took her. And mountain didn't say anything. So Ram picked up his bow and arrow and said, "I will pulverize you with my arrows into dust unless you say something, mountain." That was his feelings of separation. And Lakshman said, "We should just keep looking, because here's some footprints. This is Sita's footprints." Lucky for the mountain. Lakshman said, "I see Sita's footprints, and next to her footprints is a Rakshasa's footprints." So they were following these Rakshasa and Sita footprints. And then they came to a place where they saw some of the other possessions of Sita strewn about. Then they saw blood. And they were thinking that the... And then they saw some broken chariots and some dead mules. What happened? Another great devotee. When Ravana grabbed Sita by the hair, and he had a golden chariot pulled by asses, it was flying in the sky, Sita was screaming out, "Ram, Lakshman, Ram, Lakshman." And Jatayu, he was very old. I think he was like 60,000 years old. And he was, you know, old people get sleepy. So he was sleeping. And Sita saw him, and she said, "Jatayu, Jatayu, please inform Ram and Lakshman that Ravana, the Rakshasa, has taken me away, and tell him which direction we're going." She didn't ask him to help because he was just too old. It was impossible. It would mean death for him. But he woke up and he looked, and there was Sita being dragged away by this Rakshasa. And she was weeping and screaming out, "Please, Jatayu, tell Ram what's happened." Jatayu, he couldn't sit back and watch this injustice. He immediately screamed out at Ravana, "I will not tolerate this. Release Sita, you coward. Why you will not face Ram directly? Why you are kidnapping an innocent woman alone? Either release her or I will destroy you." He was really insulting Ravana. And Ravana was really insulted. So Ravana went and attacked Jatayu, and Jatayu attacked Ravana. And Sita was screaming out, "Jatayu, don't do this, don't do this, you can't win." But he was so determined. He started cutting into Ravana's flesh with his sharp claws. He killed all the horses, all the mules, asses. He bit off the head of Ravana's chariot driver. Then he broke to pieces Ravana's chariot. Then he broke Ravana's bows and arrows. And he started, got on Ravana's back and started digging into his back with his beak and taking out kilos and kilos of flesh and spitting it out. He was really a good fighter. And Ravana was in horrible pain. But then after doing all this, Jatayu was really tired because of his age. But he kept fighting, and he kept fighting. Finally, Ravana put Sita down, and he saw that Jatayu could hardly move anymore due to fatigue of age. He fought so valiantly, and he took a sword and cut off his wings and cut off his legs. Jatayu fell in a pool of blood. And Sita, with tears flowing from her lotus eyes, she ran to that dying devotee and embraced him and thanked him with such gratitude. How she could never repay him. Then Ravana grabbed her and took her away. Ram came to the place. He saw the broken chariots. He was thinking two rakshasas were fighting over Sita and one must have eaten her because there's blood all over the place. It was Jatayu's blood. And then he saw Jatayu laying there. And Ram said to Lakshman, "Here is the rakshasa who killed and ate Sita. And now he's laying there trying to digest her and see all the blood around her. That's my Sita's blood. He was angry as fire. Today I am going to send this demon to the house of death." And he pulled his arrow and pointed it right at Jatayu. The Lord's Leela is so sweet. Jatayu willingly gave his life for Ram. And the result is Ram is angry, considers him his enemy, is about to kill him. How the Lord tests his devotees. And Jatayu was laying there and he looked up at Ram. "I am Jatayu, the friend of your father, Dasarath. It was Ravana who stole Sita. And I tried to stop him. But this is what he's done to me." Ram dropped his bow and his arrow. "Jatayu, you have given up your life for me to fight for my Sita. Jatayu told him everything, what direction Ravana was going. And Ramchandra, this is how the devotee surrendered his life to Ram, absolutely unselfishly. He was willing to suffer and die for the pleasure of the Lord. And how did the Lord reciprocate? He told Jatayu, "On this very day, you will attain Vaikuntha, my eternal abode. This is my promise to you." And he embraced Jatayu. Jatayu was laying in the embrace and in the lap of Ram, looking at his face and chanting the holy names as he gave up his life. And Ramchandra, he told Lakshman, "Get wood, we will perform the last rites." And Ram, with his own hands, he put Jatayu's body on the funeral pyre, and with his own hands he lit the fire, and with his own hands he chanted mantra. And Ram was weeping. He was crying. He said to Lakshman, "The death of my father, the loss of Sita, nothing is as painful as seeing the death of Jatayu. He gave up his life for me, and now I am separated from him." This is the love of the Lord for his devotee. Then there was Hanuman. It's getting late, so I will not speak too long, but with your permission, I'll speak a couple more minutes. Now, in one lecture on Narasingha Chaturdasi, Prabhupada begins by saying, "All glories to Sriman Hiranyakashipu." He said, "If it wasn't for Hiranyakashipu, we would not know who Narasingadev is." Well, Ravana, if Ravana didn't steal Sita, now Chandramali Swami Maharaj was talking about how lusty he was and everything. I was listening to your lecture. What a demon he was, what a horrible person he was, which is all true. But from another perspective, all glories to Sriman Ravana. Because if Ravana didn't steal Sita, who would have ever heard of Hanuman? Would we be dancing in ecstasy, weeping and crying, hearing the story of Hanuman jumping over the ocean? 800 miles to Sri Lanka, going to the Ashokavan, and giving that heartfelt message to Sita and saving her life by his kind words, and then doing extra service by tearing apart the Ashok gardens. But it wasn't just monkey business. He was super intelligent. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was going to tear up the Ashokvan because that was Ravana's most favorite of all places. And then he was going to get arrested, and then he would get to meet Ravana face to face right in his own court and tell him what was on his mind. So he saved Sita's life. He won her heart. He met Ravana. He was all tied up. It was Indrajit that tied him up, yes. And he was apparently in a helpless condition, like a prisoner. And he told Ravana that he was a very, very sinful coward. To his face, in front of all of his family and children and all his generals and all of Sri Lanka, he just told him, "You are a sinful coward. Why did you take her when Ram was not there? Ram would have sent you to the boat of death. And he's coming for you. Release Sita now and live happily in Sri Lanka. Don't, and he will come and destroy you and your entire dynasty." Ravana was outraged. He wanted to kill him. Vibhishan said, "You can't kill a messenger." "Then let's mutilate him. Light his tail on fire. Monkeys are very attached to their tail." So they lit his tail on fire. And Hanuman expanded a little to slacken the coils around him. And then he slipped out and he just laughed and looked at Ravana and said, "You see what the messenger of Ram will do." And then he jumped from building to building with that flaming tail and lit the majority of Sri Lanka on fire. It caused total havoc. And then went to the top of a mountain, and with a very loud voice, he cried out, "Ravana, this is what one insignificant servant of Ram can do. Soon Ram will come to finish the business." Then he jumped in the water, put his tail out, and then he jumped all the way back across the ocean, met all his friends. Went back and reported to Ram. But we'll get back to that. Later on during the battle, we know the story how he carried mountains. We see so many posters and deities of Hanuman carrying those mountains. If not for Ravana, we wouldn't know these things. When Hanuman returned to Ram and the Malyavanta Prashravana in Kishkindakshetra, in that cave, Chandramouli Maharaj was talking about that cave where Ram was living in separation from Sita. Hanuman came there and told the story and gave Ram the ring that Sita gave to him. And as he gave this, he gave a jewel. He gave the ring to Sita, and Sita gave a jewel for Ram. And he told Ram the story. What is Sita's words? What is Sita's condition? How he got there? What he did? Such surrender, such devotion. Ram became so emotional. He said, "There is nothing I have. I'm living in the forest now. I have nothing to repay you. There's nothing I have to reward you." Accept my embrace. And Ram embraced Hanuman. With that embrace, Ram gave Hanuman his heart, his life. And for Hanumanji, that embrace was trillions of quadrillions of times infinitely more valuable than all the wealth and all the prestige and all the mystic powers in the entire creation. With that embrace, Ram gave Hanuman himself forever. That is the love between the Lord and his devotees. And Vibhishan. Vibhishan took serious risks. He straightforward told Ravana, "Give back Sita or you will die." He was telling his brother, with love, he loved his brother, "You're a coward." And after repeatedly saying that, Ravana became so angry that he was about to kill him. And his minister stopped him. So he banished him. Vibhishan left. That means he left his palace, he left his family, he left his position, he left everything. Sarvadharma Purutyaja, he really surrendered everything and went to Ram. He was up in the sky with two of his ministers. And Sugriva and the other, you know, these monkey soldiers were big. We heard about that from Jananda Maharaj, how big and how many they were. But not as big as Vibhishan. He was really big. He was Ravana's little brother. And when they looked up at Vibhishan, he was an awesome person. Vibhishan said, I want to surrender to Ram. I want to meet him. And they told. And Ram asked, what is your opinion? Sugriva said, no, you cannot meet this person. We cannot trust him. We can't allow him to enter into our ranks. Because after all, blood is very thick. And even though he may be angry at Ravana now, he is a Rakshasa. He is Ravana's brother. When it really comes to the point of killing or being killed, he's going to take Ravana's side. And that will cause havoc if we put our trust in him. No, let's either kill him or deny him. Sugriva was very strong, as was all the others. Then Ram turned to Hanumanji. Said, what is your opinion, Hanuman? Hanumanji said, I saw his face, and I'm convinced he's an honest and sincere soul who is coming to surrender his life to you. We should accept him. Sugriva really became angry when he heard that. He was presenting so many arguments. Why not? This is sentimental. We can't. And then Ram spoke that beautiful verse that Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj quoted in Sanskrit from the Valmiki Ramayana. He said, if even one time a person says, my Lord, I am yours, then I forgive that person of everything they may have done in the past. And I will give that person the fearless state of being my devotee and give him complete shelter. Now please listen, everyone. Even if Ravana himself came to me and said, I am yours, I will accept him as my own and forgive him. That is my vow. Now bring Vibhishan. When Ram said that, Sugriva, with folded palms, he said, yes, what you are saying is perfect. Vibhishan surrendered everything. And how he helped Ram in that battle. He was his constant advisor, his minister, warrior, fighting against his own brothers, against his own family members. For the sake of Ram. And in the end, even before the end, Ram, at that little island near Rameshwaram, he took water from the sea and coronated Vibhishan, the king of Sri Lanka. And after coming back to Ayodhya, Ram gave his own worshipable deity, Ranganath, to Vibhishan to bring back to Sri Lanka to worship. One of the greatest of all virtues is gratitude. Krishna is the origin of everything that exists, janmadyasa yataha. All love ultimately comes from Krishna. All gratitude ultimately comes from Krishna. And whatever of these qualities we have in our pure liberated state are infinitesimal parts of Krishna's opulence. But Krishna has these qualities infinitely. So a devotee's love for Krishna is so powerful, even though it's just an infinitesimal part of Krishna through his pleasure potency of Sri Radha. It's so powerful, it can conquer Krishna. It can conquer one jivatma in the pure state. That person's love can conquer entire universes. And can conquer the heart of God. And we see even a perverted reflection under the illusion of Maya, what love does to people in this world. Attraction. When Krishna is grateful for his devotee, when Krishna loves his devotee, or in today's content, when Lord Sri Ramachandra shows his gratitude and love for his devotee, it is infinite. It is all-encompassing. And that's why that's the essential reason the Lord comes into this world. Because he wants to give each and every one of us that unlimited, shoreless, bottomless ocean of gratitude and love. Forever. And he's calling us to receive it. That's really the meaning of Ram Navami. The Lord performing these incredible pastimes and speaking his words of divine wisdom because he's longing to give us the love and the gratitude of his heart forever. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in this Kali Yuga. Tava avatara sara siromani kevala ananda kanda. It's the essence of all avatars. He's none different than Ram and Sita. He's none different than Radha and Krishna. And he's come to give. He's come to give what Ram gave Hanuman, what Ram gave Vibhishan. He's come to give what Ram gave Dasarath and Jatayu. And it's so interesting how Ram didn't discriminate. Dasarath was a great king. Bharat was a powerful prince. But Jatayu was a vulture. Today we went to Banganga, and I saw something very interesting. Did you see this, Maharaj? On the side of the Ganga, there were beautiful swans and nice ducks. And there were two swans standing next to two vultures. Because I was walking alone. And I was looking, they were just inches away from each other, two swans and two vultures. And I was making a comparative study. Swans are so beautiful and so graceful, but these vultures, they were really deformed. They have all these like bubbles, red bubbles coming out of their faces. You know, if Jatayu was a swan, but even among birds, the vultures considered like an outcast. But Ram embraced him. He bathed him with his tears. And he sent him back to Vaikuntha because of his service. And Vibhishan was a Rakshasa. And Ram made him one of his most intimate, loving associates. And Hanuman, he was a monkey. He wasn't human. He was celestial, but still. And Jambavan was a bear. And Shabari was a Nishada. And Guha was a Nishada. These are outcasts, untouchables, according to caste system. And Ram was giving them the most intimate relationships, showing them the highest gratitude and love, and giving them perfection in life. He wanted to show the world it's not about any physical characteristics or material consideration. The only thing that matters in the heart of God is our devotion, our love. He makes no discrimination. That same love that Ram gave all of these great personalities we're speaking of, the same love that Krishna gave the gopas and the gopis and Sudama Vipra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu came to give that love and that gratitude, to give all of us the opportunity to receive it. Just put a little faith in the mercy of Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu. This is Bhaktivinoda's plea. And with that faith, chant the holy names. And it is a fact. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told the residents of Navadvip, chant these holy names. And when he would see somebody chanting, he would put his garland on them. He would decorate their limbs with chandan, sandalwood pulp. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Absolute Truth, with his long golden arms, would embrace them to his own heart with tears and say, I am your property. You are my life and soul. That was Mahaprabhu's gratitude. Whether they were tigers, elephants, deers, or snakes in Jharikhanda, whether they were outcasts like Haridas Thakur and the tailor of Srivas, whether they were kings like Prataparudra, whether they were scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whether they were lepers like Vasudev, in that spirit of Ram, he was willing to give his heart and his love. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this age of Kali, as Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj was saying, there's no difference between Ram and Lord Chaitanya. We can ask Murari Gupta about that. Murari Gupta's Hanuman. One day Ram, during the Mahaprakash, he said, Murari, don't you remember? No, he said, Murari, Sita's been stolen, go and get her. And Murari's looking at her, what? He says, don't you remember? And then he looks up and he sees Rama's beautiful emerald-like Durba grass complexion of Ram. And there's Sita and Lakshman. And he said, quick, quick, Ravana has stolen Sita. He said, don't you remember how you carried mountains for me? How you jumped over the ocean for me? Don't you remember how you wept a shoreless, bottomless ocean of tears seeing the plight of Sita? Don't you remember how you carried that whole mountain to protect Lakshman? Murari, don't you remember you are Hanuman? And then Murari looked down and saw he had a tail. And he fell unconscious. Yes, Mahaprabhu is Krishna. He showed Kulavecha Sridhar his form of Krishna and Balaram. He showed Ramananda Rai his form of Radha and Radha Krishna. He showed Murari and one his form of Varahadev as well as his form of Ramchandra. And along with Balaram, Nityananda, they've come to this world to give everyone the opportunity. And they came like beggars. 500 years ago, and this year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas just to go place to place as a beggar, begging people to accept his unlimited, infinite, eternal gratitude and love. Just accept it. And the process, Kevala Ananda Kanda, is so simple. Just be the servant of the servant. Practice these principles of humility. Develop a real service attitude without ulterior motives. It's not that hard. And in that spirit, you will attain the perfection of receiving the unlimited love of God. What little love we can give God, but what love God gives us back. He wants us to just give whatever little tiny we have, and he's willing to give us all of his. And Krishna can do that. He can give everybody everything. And the price in this spirit, take shelter of the holy name. Our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada. On behalf of Ram, on behalf of Hanuman, on behalf of Radha Krishna, on behalf of Gaur Nitai, he traveled around the world 13 times with this mission. He receives the unlimited love and gratitude of Krishna. And he wanted to share that gift with us. And he's only asked us two things. Accept it and share it with others. Without ulterior motives. And for us, to meditate on this opportunity and reciprocate with this compassion is the real meaning of Ram Navami. Srila Prabhupada ki.